And we are starting a new series this morning. And the series, if you've been here for a few months through the year, you'll have seen that there's a bit of a connection right from our beginning message in the new year. But today specifically, we're going to be starting a series called Make Healthier Churches. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit for those who maybe weren't here at the beginning of these series groups and what's going on, and let you know why we're talking about getting healthier. You see, when I was praying about 2024, and at the beginning or the end of 1 year, I'll begin to pray for the next year, Lord, where are you leading our church? What do you have in store for us? Is there like a word or something that we can aim for? And usually the Lord speaks to me in what we call the still small voice, is where he's speaking directly to your thoughts. But it's not your thought, it's him, okay? So that's a whole nother message, but I felt him say this: this is going to be the best year ever. I was like, wow, that's a great word. But what exactly does it mean, and how is this going to be the best year ever? Well, I believe that the Lord wants this to be the best year ever that we've had up to this point. And I believe the word is a personal word for each of us, but it's also a word for our families, for our church, and for our community. And so we've been going through some of the series towards that already this year. Now, why do I believe it can be the best year ever, or how? It can be the best year ever for you, first of all, if you believe it. Because if you don't believe it, then it's not for you. See, Jesus said all things are possible to the one that believes. But if you don't believe it, it isn't for you automatically. Because what you believe, what you don't believe, you don't step into. What you believe, you step into. Again, that's a whole other message as well. And if you'd like to hear some of those things, we did talk about them in the previous message. You see, if we believe it and if we become healthier, this year will be the best year ever. Solomon in Ecclesiastes talked about, he came to this realization that the people who had the best life were those who were blessed and healthy enough to enjoy it. And so from that, I felt God saying, hey, if you want this to be the best year ever, you need to be healthier. And so there were four areas that I felt we would look at. And again, these are not all the things to be healthier, but the four areas that we're going to look at, and we've already covered some. We need to become healthier people, so we looked at that in a series. We need to make healthier homes, and we've already looked at that. And now we're beginning the series, we need to make healthier churches. Now, we need to make healthier churches. Again, this could go in all kinds of directions, but I want to stay focused on three areas, and we're going to be looking at them more in depth throughout the next few weeks. The three areas of getting healthier churches are, well, very similar to healthier homes and healthier people, and they're these. We need to make healthier churches relationally, financially, and spiritually. Now, let's look at relationally first, and today's message is like the summary message of where we're going, so I'm going to hit a lot of points really fast. But if you can take something away, just know that we're going to go deeper on each of the issues through the next weeks, okay? So I don't want anybody to feel overwhelmed or like, that's a lot of information. But I believe God has something for you in this message today. You see, to become healthier churches relationally, I think we first need to look at the fact that pastors need to become healthier relationally and fulfill their purpose. So if we're going to have healthier churches, the first area we need to look at, are our pastors healthy? And are they healthy specifically relationally? Now, there's a few things I'm going to quickly look at in this area. So I'm going to first look at me, but I'm not the only pastor here. We're blessed in our church. We have a connections pastor, Pastor Bruce, a worship pastor, Pastor Marissa, and our children's pastor, Pastor Beatrice, who is also my wife. And then we also have a youth pastor, but she looks after our senior youth, and she is amazing. We really, really appreciate her. So, pastors, if we get healthier to start with, that's definitely going to help us have healthier churches. So here's three quick areas we're going to just go over really fast today. Pastors can get healthier by being humble. Matthew 23, verse 11, the greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So obviously, if a pastor is becoming proud and arrogant, it's not going to be healthy for the church. So being humble matters. And I'm not going deep on any of this today. We're going fast, but just understand we'll go deeper in these later. Another way that a pastor can become healthier is to make sure that they are loving shepherds of God's people. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2 says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You see, as shepherds, we are required to love people. As pastors, we need to continually guard our hearts that we don't get angry or bitter, and that we are able to reach out when people are hurting or just in seasons of their life where they're lashing out. And so it's important that we allow God's love to work through us. Do we always do it perfect? Probably not. But I tell you, God has blessed us abundantly. You know, when I give messages, I like to give stories or examples. And lots of time I tell you my stories or examples I've been through. But I really felt as I was preparing this message, I wanted to give you examples from our other pastors that are here. And I'm going to give positive examples. So pastors, it's okay, you know, breathe. Positive examples, because we got amazing pastors here. But when I think of a loving pastor, somebody who's humble and cares about people, I think of Pastor Bruce, our Connections pastor. And if you've never met Pastor Bruce or spent some time with him, he definitely cares deeply about people. And an example was, it happens often, but there was one evening, there was some things going on, and someone wanted to talk to him and had some questions. And Pastor Bruce cares about people, and he will talk with people as long as they need to. And the person said, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Pastor Bruce, sure. Well, 2 o'clock in the morning, that person decided they had enough questions answered and they were going home. And I thought, my goodness, that is an example of someone who loves deeply, sacrificed their time to try to help and answer questions. And I really appreciate Pastor Bruce and his humbleness, his love for people. So now one more thing for pastors, obviously, that we need to be doing if we're going to be healthy is we need to be making disciples. And I'll explain it a little bit. Matthew 28, 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a great verse to memorize, and we've used it lots because it's kind of key to the faith. It's kind of our commission as believers and especially pastors. All right, I told you I'm going quick today because we're getting a summary of where we're headed. So we're going to go right to the next thing about having our church become healthier. And we just talked about pastors. Now we're going to look at congregants. Congregants becoming healthier relationally, because we're talking relationally here right now, is important. And the first thing about being healthy relationally is that we must love one another. If you call yourself a believer, you do need to actually love other people. You can't say, I'm a believer, but people really bug me, so I don't have any friends or I don't talk to anybody. That's not okay. You do need to be able to show that love. Now, obviously, Scripture says that, John 13, 35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How do people know that you're a Christian, a believer? By your love for other people. Now, here's the thing about this. Love is an action word, and it can be seen. If others will know who you are by your love, what does it mean? It means they've seen it. They can actually see that you love. Let me give an example, and I like to use them as a young couple, right? Now, I'll use my wife and I, when we were first engaged, we didn't walk around telling people, yeah, we're in love. We love each other. We didn't do that. People knew we loved each other. It was obvious by our actions. It was the way I held her hand. As we walked along, it was the way she lovingly looked at me and smiled. Oh, okay, I might exaggerate that slightly, but you get the point. We didn't have to tell people, they saw it. Well, the same for us as a congregation. We shouldn't be having to yell it from the rooftops. It should be seen and known that we are people that love. So I want to encourage us to be healthier. If you're dealing with a lot of anger or you have so many people issues, get prayer, get help, get counseling, work on it so that you can truly love others. And when you work on that, you become healthier, your church becomes healthier. By honoring, okay, this is the part we said, loving one another. So congregants, our church becomes healthy when you love one another. Also, the church becomes healthier when congregants, people are here, are able to honor those who lead them. Okay? And this is important for a healthy church. Hebrews 13, 16, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. All right, honoring leaders. You know, there are different cultures and different places around the world where there's great honor for pastors. There's even places where it's almost to the point of worshiping a leader, which is not okay. And then there's North America, where, boy, if you're a pastoral leader, anyways, this is an amazing church, and you guys really do show honor and respect. But sometimes in churches, there can be a culture where rather than supporting and showing honor to a leader, there's more of a, well, let's see what they do. And boy, if they don't do it right, we can get rid of them and find another one. That's an unhealthy church. If a church is going through a pastor every 2 or 3 years, it's unhealthy. Now, unless it's an organization where they purposely transfer. But I would say that health comes when pastors are able to continue for long term and congregants are able to support and move forward. So honoring matters for a healthy church. Now, we'll go deeper in that because honoring one another is part of it, all those good things. All right. How many are okay with leadership over them? This is a really interesting topic. I'll tell you, a lot of people struggle with it, especially if they had an upbringing where a parent was really forceful or caused issues. Then when they get in a situation with even a boss, they struggle. But I believe for us to be healthier, we got to be okay with that. All right, and as well for congregants, for our church to be healthier, you also need to be able to make disciples. Now, we're using a big word, but it simply means you're able to help other people follow the Lord the way you do. Okay, in other words, you're able to say, hey, you want to come with me and do what I do. All right, that's what a disciple means. And because we're going to memorize that verse, let's put it up there again, Matthew 28, 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congregants, you as well as pastors have the ability and the call to bring others into what you do. I'm going to keep it simple. If you're attending church, ask your friends to join you. If you know something and they have questions, answer the questions. If they want prayer and you know how to pray, pray with them. So that is simple version of helping someone to follow Jesus or find him. And you and I are all called to do it. I have some good news for you. If you have a friend who wants to know more and you're answering questions and they ask you a question you don't know, don't pretend, just say, I don't know. It takes all the stress off. Did you know your friends don't expect you to know everything? And if you act like a know-it-all, know-everything, they probably aren't going to like it anyways. They just want to know if what you have is real. Is it actually real to you? When they're asking you questions, that's ultimately what they're trying to find out. Is this really real to you? Is this actually change your life somehow? Did you actually feel God's presence? Do you actually believe he's real? They want to know, is he real to you? And if he is, tell them why. All right. We're talking about making healthier churches. Because if the church is healthier, it's going to fulfill its commission much better. It's going to be able to reach people. It's going to be able to help transform lives in our community. And I'm so thankful for how God has blessed and how God is transforming lives on a regular basis. I just love what he can do. And you know, he does it through all of us. Friends reaching out to friends, people praying, and we get to see the benefits of it. We need to make healthier churches also financially. Okay, so relationally, let's not just come to church, sit in our little spot, and never talk to anybody. Let's not do that, okay? Let's this year get healthier, be willing to be real with those around us. But let's move on to the next one, financially. Churches need to be healthy financially. And as you're going to see, there is not a lot of difference in this than there was when we talked about your personal financial health. Because the church also is a body that needs to be healthy. But let me give you really quick some verses about finances again. A church is healthier financially when they have a financial plan. So even churches need a plan of how they're going to use their finance. Proverbs 23:5, it says, in the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. This is what happens when there's no plan. No matter how much money comes in, it disappears. That's simply the sign of no plan. If you get to the end of every month and wonder where the money has gone, you don't have a plan. Guaranteed. Get a plan. It will free you up. It will put you in charge of your finances. Well, the same for a church. You need a healthy financial plan, and we do have a budget here. Now, I'd just like to say with this and the aspects of a church, it can sometimes be churches can get in trouble because there's this, you know, the aspect of, well, we just are going to trust God and do it anyways. Now, we do want to trust God, but you've got to still use wisdom with finances, and there's still a plan to follow. And I believe we're pretty healthy in that area in our church, but we can always be healthier. Now, as well, churches should get out of debt. If church has a big debt load, then all the giving that comes in is going to pay off debt, and you're wanting to do things for the community, or you're wanting to do things for missions, and you can't. All right, so getting out of debt personally and also as a church is important. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. All right, and that just makes sense, get out of debt. If you're wondering for our church, we actually are out of debt as a church, so that's a great blessing. Yeah, you can praise God for that. A couple of years ago, the building and parking lot and everything was all paid off. We had a loan, a small loan for a few years that got paid off last year, so we're out of debt in all aspects. So we can put money to the ministry purposes, you know, pay the staff, reach out to the community, things like that. So we're really happy about that. As well, for a church to be healthy financially, they need to be generous. Now, we talk about this individually, but what about the church? The church also should be generous with what God's brought in. You see, our purpose as a church is to do ministry, and our specific mission here is that we exist to help people find and follow Jesus, so that's where the money would go. So if large amounts of money are coming in, we're not supposed to build a big bank account. We're supposed to do ministry. Now, don't get me wrong. Financial wisdom and a financial plan means you have a savings account. You have an emergency fund for when the furnace breaks and different things like that. I remember the first year I started pastoring here. Right away after I started, a furnace went. And if I remember, it was like $60,000 for a new furnace. And the following year, we had to replace an entire section of roof because it was leaking and everything was getting moldy back there. So I was really thankful that the church looked after their finances well so that we could do those things. So having a plan, using it the way God wants. Being generous, Acts 4:34. This is kind of the beginnings of the church when they first started after Christ had risen, and they're beginning to spread the message. And it says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought this money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Now, I want to say this. This was something that they felt to do at that time. I don't want anybody here to sell their house and everything and try to move into the church. I'm not making you breakfast. Don't do that. The only reason I'm reading this is that there was a principle of generosity right from the get-go at the very roots of the church. This principle of giving out, and you see the church gave out to where there was need. So when there was large finances coming in, the church didn't hoard it, they gave it out where there was need. And we want to be that kind of church that sees where there's needs and tries to meet them. So here at our church, there is a benevolence fund for people who are in serious trouble. We do give to the food bank on a yearly basis. And right now there's a bit of a collection for the women's shelter happening. So we're looking for ways to help in our community as God blesses in. And finally, I believe that a church is healthy in the financial area when we make opportunities for people to give. Okay? Now, this is a scriptural principle, and we see that Paul did this in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He is actually taking a collection for the poor people in Jerusalem. There was famine, things going on, and so he's taking collection, he makes opportunity, and he teaches them about giving, and he says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Being generous is at the very root of church. So as a church, we need to be generous. Making opportunities to give is important. Now, nobody should feel pressured, and it should be because you want to. But God wants to bless you. And here at our church, we don't pressure people. We have debit machines in the back corners for before, after. We have online giving as well, but we want you to do it because you know that's how God is leading you and you're being faithful to Him. When I think of healthy financial areas for the church, I said I want to give you examples and pick on the pastors a little bit. When I think of somebody who's healthy in their finances, I think of our worship pastor, Pastor Marissa. Pastor Marissa looks after her finances well. She has purchased her own place. She has her own vehicle. She looks after all the needs that she has and does it well. And I think she even buys shoes sometimes. Anyways, so I don't know how that happens, but she's a single person. You know, we don't pay her a huge wage or anything, so she has some financial wisdom, and I have seen also great financial integrity. And so I think that is amazing. Now, a little story that comes to mind. We had a young guy come in the church with his dad, and he was about to turn 5. This was during the week. And he pulls out of his pocket. He has a few quarters. It didn't even make a dollar, but he was telling us, yeah, I'm going to go to the dollar store and get myself a present. I was like, oh, that's not very much. I said, I got some change. I'm pretty sure I'll go get you some. So I went to my office, dug in my jacket. I only had 30 cents change. And I'm like, man, oh, man, this is bad. So on my way down the hall, I passed the worship pastor's office, and I said, do you have any change? Well, sure enough, the worship pastor had a ton of change. I said, okay, if you want, you can give it to this little kid because I'm about to be real cheap. I only have 30 cents. But anyways, I gave him 30 cents, and our worship pastor gave him a whole bunch more. But planting, being generous, matters. Now, I believe we need to make healthier churches relationally. We need to make healthier churches financially, but also spiritually. You see, it's easy to get into the routine and forget the spiritual side. It's easy to do the business and do what needs to be done and leave out the Holy Spirit, and we don't ever want to do that. You see, we make our healthier churches spiritually, first of all, by properly dealing with sin and evil. And yes, this is a spiritual matter. Matthew 9:13, when the Pharisees saw it, they saw Jesus eating with lots of sinful people. They said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard that, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, this is a key verse, and it's key about what we do in a healthy church. Our doors are open to anybody who is needing help. But just because our doors are open to anybody needing help doesn't mean we ask them to come in and leave them sick. Doesn't mean we ask them to come in and never tell them they need to repent of sin. A healthy church is not afraid to point out what is sin and what isn't. A healthy church wants sick people to be made well. How ridiculous would it be if sick people went to the hospital and all they did with your appointment was pat you on the back and say, "Ma, it's really good you came. Just stay sick as long as you keep coming." That's not what we're here for. We're not here just to fill up chairs and keep coming. We need to see people get well. We need to see people deal with sin issues in their life and become healthy. So a healthy church is not afraid to do this. Matthew 11:20. It's talking about Jesus. It says, "He began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent." The word repent means to turn from sin. If you're going this direction, you turn around. I want to say this clearly. Repentance is not a miracle. Repentance is not a supernatural happening. Repentance is a choice. And it's a choice that you make to turn from something that's not okay to the direction God says is okay. Is it always easy? Of course not. And the longer you've been entrenched in any kind of sin, the tougher it's going to be. But I got good news. If you're wanting to turn, if you're wanting to repent, you have pastors and congregants that will stand with you and help you, and you've got Jesus who said he'd never leave you or forsake you. So don't stay sick. Get well. Acts 16 and verse 16. So a healthy church is not afraid to deal with sin or evil. Okay, so let's look at this. Acts 16:16. "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." You see, we live in a spiritual world, and to ignore it doesn't mean that it goes away. It's there. Paul realized, even though this person was saying the truth, it was coming from an evil spirit. Now, evil spirits typically like to lie, but they can tell the truth if they want for a while to get you sucked in. And he realizes there's something spiritual happening, but it's not from the Holy Spirit. So he deals with it. Now, when we talk about spiritual matters, sometimes it's like, oh, man, you know, some people get scared, some people get turned off by that, but it's part of what we have to deal with if we're going to be a healthy church. And if someone comes in and they're actually dealing with spiritual problems, we want them to get well. We want them to be free. And so we deal with it. When I think about having churches become healthier by dealing with sin and evil, the pastor that I want to pick on a little bit is our children's pastor, Pastor Beatrice. She's an amazing pastor, an amazing woman. Of course, I've got to know her over many years. We'll be married 27 years this year. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. And so I've come to know that she has great wisdom and sense in spiritual matters. And I know she loves the Lord and she hates evil, but in the area of spiritual things, she can sense when something's not right. She knows how to pray with authority and see things change. And so it's good that we have her as the children's pastor. There's no spirit getting into the kids' side, I tell you what. Anyways, but a story comes to my mind that happened a number of years ago, and my wife loves to pray, and one of her favorite places to really pray is while driving in the vehicle. And if she can get in the vehicle without the rest of us, well, she turned the music up, she will sing, she will pray. And she went to Edmonton one time with one of our daughters who was in a car seat. This is a number of years ago. And on the way back from Edmonton, she was driving and she was praying. And she was telling me, she just remembered exactly, she was praying and there's a bit of spiritual warfare happening and she was just declaring, this is the way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. She was rebuking the enemy and things, you know, it was powerful prayer and she was following a semi-truck. And as she's following the semi-truck, another pickup truck comes this way. So 100 kilometers an hour, 100 kilometers an hour. And she said it was like in slow motion, an oak door flew up out of the pickup truck and came straight at her. It came through the windshield and split in two and went on either side of her head. One chunk this size like a spear slammed right under the car seat, but our daughter in the car seat happened to have her legs up playing with the seatbelt. There were sharp arrow-like piece chunk of oak was laying on her shoulder and other ones on the floor. And she pulled over, glass everywhere, but she was untouched, unhurt. But she pulled over a little bit in shock. I was back home, and I was sitting back home, and I thought, I need to call my wife. I called my wife, like, literally right after this had happened. And she's in the vehicle, but the thing is, the semi-truck driver had been looking in his mirrors, and he saw the whole thing happen. He pulled over instantly, and he came running back to her van. The van was on the side, and he came to the window slowly, and he was kind of shaky, and he looked in, and he went, oh, you don't know what I thought I was going to see. Because you see, there is a spiritual battle going on, but we have the authority. And I would like to say that Pastor Beatrice continues to pray and continues to deal with things in the spirit, knowing that nothing can harm her. Nothing can touch her. And you and I need to be able to do the same. And we also make churches healthier spiritually by praying for the Holy Spirit to fill people and the building. For a church to be healthy, there needs to be a place for the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to say this, statistically, in our Western world and really all through the world, if churches are ignoring the spiritual fact, they are dying left and right. If they are just doing a religious duty, they are dropping off the map. People are suddenly saying, I don't want to be religious anymore, I don't need to, and I'm out. But churches who make place for the Spirit are filling up because people want a real relationship. People want an actual spiritual thing in their lives. So allowing the Spirit in is extremely important. You see, we make healthier churches spiritually by continually helping people to find and follow Jesus. In Acts 2 and verse 40, we read this. It says, Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 people. Now, when I think about somebody who understands the purpose of helping people follow Jesus, I think of our youth pastor, Sarah. Sarah has been a part of our church for many years. She was a part even before I was pastor here. And she's been a part of our children's ministry as a teacher, and she still does that, and she teaches our senior youth on a weekly basis, and she gives her all. She talks with them, she teaches them, she understands that helping people follow him is a lifetime commitment, and she does it regularly. She has one other person, Mikey, who helps at senior youth. And if you're here and you're like, you know what, I have a call to do youth, you should talk with Pastor Sarah. She'll get you involved. She'll show you how and what has to happen. But she's been faithful in so many areas. 7 years on that, and you started kids ministry before that. Is that correct? So what year did you start kids ministry? 2016, I think, right? So 8 years in kids ministry and going strong and loving it. And she's seen life-changing kids. So a healthy church, like a healthy plant, grows and produces fruit. What is fruit for a church? It's people choosing to follow Christ and people's lives being transformed. And, well, that's called discipleship. A healthy church grows. And by the way, can I say this today? Numbers are not wrong. You know, sometimes there's a cultural thing in the church world of, oh, you shouldn't count how many people got saved or how many people are at your church. You shouldn't do that. But numbers are actually not wrong. I just read you a scripture where it said about 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 is a number. Did you know Jesus very clearly said he called 12 disciples? 12 is a number. He very clearly told us that about another 70 were sent out. 70 is a number. Told us that in the upper room there was about 120 people gathered together. 120 is a number. It tells us again in the New Testament a little further on that 5,000 people came to Christ. 5,000 is a number. When John in the book of Revelations was giving revelation from God, numbers were given. He said he saw about 144,000 from the tribe of Israel. 144,000 is a number. And then he went a little further and he said he saw people from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation worshiping and praising God. And he said it was way too big a number. I couldn't count. Church, never be afraid to measure, to talk about what God's doing. Never be afraid of a number. And by the way, one is a number. One is a number. That one friend that you need to talk to, that one person who shows up at your house for tea, at your house for coffee, and they're broken and they need someone to pray, that is a number. And you see, the thing is, every number represents a life made new. Every number is a life transformed. Every number is a life snatched from the grip of sin and death. A life pulled from the fires of hell. If you understand that, if you truly understand what it means for someone to be saved, you become passionate to see them saved. I talk about this from time to time. If you actually understand, someone who refuses Jesus is headed for a place called hell, and you actually have a glimpse of what we're talking about, you will fight for them. You will go after them. You will want to tell them about Jesus. You see, that one needs to hear from you. And as we talk about this today, I have to ask the question. For those of you who are here, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you understand that He's got your number and that today can be your day? You see, because you're not just a number to him. He knows you by name. He knows your name. He knows your situation. And over 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross for you. He said, I will pay the price for all sin, that you can be made right with the Heavenly Father, that your life can be changed and transformed. That's what he did. That you could spend eternity in a place called heaven with him, not a place called hell. Jesus did it for you and I. And he said he did it for you. And he reaches out and he says, I'm here, do you want it? He will force nobody, but he makes it available. And there's only one way to accept what Christ has done. There's only one way to let him be real in your life. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus is real, you believe that, hey, I want it, then he said you use words. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And so we make opportunity here at church for you to speak it with your mouth. We make it easy. It's what you believe in your heart spoken with your mouth, and it's the beginning to a new life. And so if you want that today, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. And here at church, I ask others to join me. We're not trying to embarrass or single people out. So let's pray. And if you'll repeat that after me for that one or two who may have never said it today. So if you'll bow with me and repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I thank you now. I am saved. Amen. Give God praise for that today.